The world of content is plagued by numerous self-help and business books that are fundamentally flawed. It is so easy to write a formula that if you follow it, it would work out. And then, as an author, you could write a formula of something that you never actually follow yourself, even though it makes sense perhaps for someone to do it. Yet these authors will fall into the trap of thinking that someone else might be able to follow this advice even though they are unable to follow it. But actually, if they can't even follow it themselves, it's probably because it's slightly flawed for some reason. And due to this, there is so much junk out there. And if you study the content that actually is useful, most of it usually has a strong background in psychology and philosophy. All these books that fail are usually due to the fact that the prescription makes sense on paper, but not in reality. And it's not like there isn't enough information already out there. It's generally very well known that you have a caloric budget each day of 2,000 to 2,500 calories, and that you should get some exercise. Basically, that means most people should eat less than they are currently eating and do some more exercise, and they will be healthier and lose some weight. Now, nearly every human alive could write a diet and exercise plan for themselves that if they had followed that diet and exercise plan for the last 5 years, they would be so much healthier today. And they would be grateful for having followed it, perhaps. They have the knowledge to write that themselves, but they were unable to actually follow that regime for the last 5 years. It's easy to write the plan. The difficulty is actually sticking to it for the next 5 years. And if you consider the insane amount of diet and health books out there, they clearly haven't really solved anything. So today we're going to talk about the problem with half of the advice out there that sounds like it's good advice, and uncover more specifically why it doesn't work, and dig further into the fact that just the complexity of reality is such a wildly different beast to the simplified versions of things you'll get on the pages of a book, or in the security of a podcast or a YouTube video. We of course want to distinguish between the advice that will actually work versus the things that sound good, so we don't waste our time listening to things that sound good but never help us. And after we've done that, I'm going to look at three basic principles that you can actually adapt in your life that do genuinely make a difference to your happiness, your success, and your health, and how you can implement them and use them to improve, because they actually work for me and other people, as opposed to just working hypothetically. The Cozy Earth Mother's Day sale is here. Their incredible bedding and loungewear is mind-blowingly satisfying to touch, and it is sourced from bamboo, and it's good for the planet, free from toxins, it gets softer with every single wash, and it's naturally temperature regulating. My mum approves, and yours will too. Listeners get 35% off any order at cozyearth.com using code GROWTH.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So, why is so much advice terrible? It's not just that people are trying to sell you something. That is certainly one issue, but a bigger problem is that reality is more complex and less interested in behaving how we want it to behave compared to how we might talk about in a podcast or write in a book. In the same way that perhaps every project takes twice as long and four times the price in reality as it does on paper, everything that we do experiences so many other setbacks and weird situations that are hard to account for in the simplistic advice of everything going to plan. And basically, real life is chaos. I vividly remember being so annoyed at my biology textbooks and the clear diagrams they had that represented living things like a cell or an artery or a heart. If you actually dissect the real thing, nothing looks like they do in a diagram. Everything is a mess. if you take just a simple artery, you'll have a nice piece of clip art that has like the different types of artery wall, and everything will be different colors with some big white stuff around it. And it will be so easy to see what an artery is in the diagram. And then you'll get your slide of animal tissue with an artery in it, and it'll just be a bloody mess of cells and random junk. The bit that actually is an artery isn't circular. It'll be a weird shape along with a bunch of other weird shapes next to it. And the flesh and blood of real life is a mess. Yet, however, life still flows and it does amazing and incredible things. And I found this so accurate for self-improvement and other big things that you might do with your life. There's a multitude of events and random chances during the course of your existence. These different events over time combine with a person's individual reactive framework due to their currently existing biology and knowledge, mindsets, motivations, their mistakes and their fears. And from that, you end up with one giant deterministic system for what a person will do next. The next 5 minutes is unpredictable at best. What happens in the rest of someone's life is completely unknowable. I've already made now 300 episodes on the Growth Mindset podcast. And a lot of the first 200 episodes, I was digging into different people's life stories. And none of them had a simple story of how they got to where they are right now. And everyone's life story is a fantastically beautiful, slightly strange thing full of unexpected twists. And it's the same for businesses. Most of them don't start and go the way they were planned. There'll be a multitude of factors that come together in a seemingly almost impossible blend of events. And what the business does will change over time. The personnel running it will change over the time, and the market it exists in will change over time. But the common recurring theme here between people and businesses that do well is that if you can be adaptable and positive thinking and see the upside during the relentless onslaught of chaos and change that will be consistently landing at your feet, you can do much better than the many other people who will seem to drown in all of this chaos. Now, considering what I've just been saying, if you think about trying to create specific advice or plans for yourself or anyone else, it starts to feel like it is actually a pretty dangerous territory to go into. Whatever you say will always be simplistic and it will cut corners. There will be edge cases and failures, and hence most New Year's resolutions and most business plans fail. Goals, of course, are great as guiding directions to head towards, but it starts you on a path and helps create movement, which is important. But equally, flexibility to go in the other direction is just as important, because the right path when you start is unknowable. And you may well do yourself more damage and frustration by trying to achieve something too specific when you aren't willing to be flexible. If everything changes around us, we need to be able to go with the flow and surf the waves of opportunities as they hit us, and that's much better than being thrown around in a frothy mess of waves just battering us in all directions. As Jimmy Dean said, "I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination." So we find that our work is usually not so much specifically working out what to do, but instead who to be. If you take a company with an inspiring overarching vision and mission, they will change and iterate the details of how to get there. And for a person, if they decide how they show up in life, that will make their own success in whatever they choose to do. And I do realize this is now cued me up to say some random crappy podcast style motivational quote along the lines of find the path by finding yourself. And I guess I can point out the fact that I regularly can't even find my keys, so we'll move on. I mentioned that I would give three principles that you can actually follow, which will be a recipe for enjoying your life and failing less. The first two came up with a conversation on the show with a lovely bloke called Alex Dunstan, who adopted these principles to help him find his way through the chaos of life decisions, and they worked really well for him. Despite his slightly chaotic ADHD and attitude to work, he ended up being able to run a VC surrounded by people that actually value and can make the most of his skills rather than being annoyed by his weaknesses. He basically decided that instead of trying to overplan or meddle with everything, just following these few simple rules can really help determine your life path in a good way. The first one is to be kind and helpful to people. And the second is to try and spend as much time with the people that let you be yourself. So firstly, being kind and helpful to others. Kindness is one of the most underrated life hacks in the world. Like, honestly, any selfish person should be kind because it just brings you more opportunities in the long run. It will also make you feel more positive about yourself and brings out the best in those around you. Yes, there might be the odd person who will take advantage of you or not pay you back, and it will be nothing compared to the amount of rewards that you get back through the trust and recommendations about you. There'll also be the fact that you'll just save so much time not having arguments. And if you're feeling sold, you might have the next question of, how do you actually implement being kind? I'm glad you asked. Kindness is an overall attitude rather than a robotic formula, but there are some systems that you can try and put in place to help that will just give you a default. They'll give you a default behavior of what to do now. So, for example, I set myself a budget each year to give to charity because it just makes sense. If ever someone is raising money for a marathon or putting on an event, whatever it is, I can easily just give them some money without feeling like I've lost anything because I've already got the budget for it. And at the end of the year, the rest of it just goes to my favorite charities. I won't get surprised any month if three people come at me trying to raise money for charity, and I can show up and be supportive for them. And that's nice and kind for them to feel and also for charity. Another tactic is to just notice the things that make people feel appreciated. You may have heard about the love languages. Well, it's really worth working out what makes the people around you tick and then showing them the respect that they enjoy rather than just expecting them to appreciate the things that you like yourself. And it's always important to remember is that people like to feel that they are genuinely contributing themselves and that you value them. Whether or not someone's done a task that you could have done better yourself, you should go out of your way to let people know that you noticed their effort. Whether this is at work or in relationships, just point out more things that people have done well than what they have done wrong. Like, always lean on the positive side of it, and then people will think you're a positive person and enjoy being around you rather than being a negative person. On the subject of negativity, try to notice when people are struggling, like hold space for the people's problems, or if, for example, they're working on a difficult project, be willing to help them out. Turning up during the unsexy moments of someone's life, rather than just being there to celebrate their successes, is such a nice, kind thing to do that everyone on the planet should do, and we'd all be better for it. So, you know, help someone move house, babysit, or perhaps even have a difficult conversation with them. It doesn't matter what it is, but if it's unsexy, it's probably more worth doing than just turning up to their party or whatever. Then finally, of course, there's random acts of kindness. And yeah, that does mean things like the classic helping the old lady across the street, paying for the next person in line's coffee. Like, it might sound kind of weird and cheesy, but it's actually wildly enjoyable to just surprise people and show them that random strangers are nice people and that the world is full of individuals who aren't dicks. And it will make you feel better about the world, and it will make them feel better about the world, and you will be spreading love and kindness. And if you are a listener to the show for a long time, you'll have noticed that I do love asking people about the kindest things that they've ever experienced, because I do find it a brilliant reminder for all the different ways you have that you can make someone's day better, and the signs that you may have noticed that were opportunities to be a kinder person. So the final piece of advice here is to listen to all of my episodes, and you'll find more ways to be kind. So, little plug there. Moving on. The second rule from Alex was to try and spend as much time as you can with the people who let you be you. And I really love this rule as well. Being yourself is a really big feature of this show again. I've said it before, and I will say it again, because being yourself is just so wildly important. And to do that, you also need to understand yourself and gravitate to the people who would appreciate you for the strengths you have and accept your weaknesses. Now, I've spent time working with people who made me feel stupid, unappreciated, and useless. They suck the energy out of you and replace it with a giant double serving of anxiety. I've also spent time with people that made me feel like I was highly respected, a wizard who wins at everything, And they give you so much energy that it'll just burst out of your face like sunbeams, and you'll feel like you're at home. And it's so much better for your life and how you feel and how you show up and the things you do. So much of our dissatisfaction with our jobs or our friends or our partners or even our family comes from when they put expectations on us about who we should be instead of giving us space to be ourselves. And the important thing here is that you need to do the work to discover who you are and how you think and how you work and how you live. Like, honestly, you have the skills and the gifts to give, and instead of fighting to fit into the convention of a system around you, it's such a massive life boost to spend time in places that provide a wind in your sails. And now, I'm not saying it's easy to make this happen, but the best way to do this is to try and find the people who will allow for your strengths and your idiocies to be what they are, and they're happy to work with you as you are. The essential part here is not just finding colleagues or friends or partners that let you be yourself, but also giving yourself the license to be yourself. If you love spending time outdoors, but you're working in an office, you can't blame your colleagues for how they prescribe how you should work when you need to let yourself become an outdoor guide or work in forestry or become a sports coach. It's not your fellow office worker's fault that you're unhappy in an office. I know for myself, I go nuts if I'm inside all week. That's why I went to Nepal and became a mountain guide, because I love the outdoors. If you love designing and painting, again, you can't blame your colleagues if you need to let yourself pursue an artistic career. My sister spent 10 years in corporate jobs, and she retrained last year to become a garden designer, and she is so much happier with her work now than before. It's like this huge weight of stress and annoyance has come from her, and she gets to be way more creative and project manage fun things. And that's from her to give herself a license to do something that almost doesn't feel like a job because it's so much more aligned with her actual interests and passions. But part of doing that was the fact that she's had her support from her husband, who was willing to let her be herself and take the pay cut to pursue a career that actually meant something to her. So yes, from this, spend time with people who let you be you, and also acknowledge where you are holding yourself back by not allowing yourself to be yourself. And that is a massive life hack. That is actually true. Like, I'm not saying it's easy to do, but you'll see people all over the world that do follow this advice and do make it happen. So it's not just some fantasy that I'm talking to you about. It will put you in the best place to make the most of the opportunities that come your way. And if you follow the first rule of being kind, that will also help increase those opportunities. And now, finally, the third rule, which is ownership. And that means being open, accepting, and curious about your own flaws and learning to own them. The biggest part of a growth mindset is believing you're brilliant, but being honest about the things that you do wrong so you can do better. In the realm of self-improvement and pop psychology, it feels like there are more and more ways to blame others. People love listening to the psychology of narcissism and identifying all the narcissists sucking the joy out of their life, or maybe hearing about ADHD and deciding that the way to explain all the things that they haven't got around to doing yet is due to a self-diagnosis of ADHD. And this is actually not self-improvement at all. It's just listening to a podcast or reading a book that will give you an instant way to quote-unquote improve yourself by realizing that something or someone else is the problem and you have no responsibility. And yes, it feels rewarding and it's addicting, but it is a load of crap. If you are blaming your parents' relationship for your current relationship troubles, that's not going to help you. Your parents aren't in your relationship, you are in your relationship. If you have trust issues, you need to work out how to trust. If you have commitment issues, you need to work out how to commit. If you have anger issues, you need to work out how to control yourself. If you have an eating disorder, you need to work out how to manage it. If you do have ADHD, like I do, you need to work out how you can make the most of your strengths instead of obsessing about your weaknesses. Basically, finding reasons that something is not your fault won't shift the fact that it is your responsibility. So when it comes to the growth mindset, I think the biggest element people miss is how much of the growth mindset is about honestly looking into your own flaws and then accepting that failure will be a part of the path to improvement and just starting to work on making progress day by day. So many people just seem to have this idea that they should be waiting, like they'll make the mistake that the growth mindset will be about discovering their potential by finding it waiting for them there under a rock. And they're like, if I just search under more rocks, it'll suddenly appear. Like, if I attend this other conference or if I read this book, I'll suddenly transform into this titan of success and happiness. Or maybe I'll manifest my dreams by developing the belief that I am great. And no, that will never work for you, ever. I will promise you on my life that that will not be a solution for you. What you want to do is you want to be with those people who are too busy with their head down working hard on their dreams to bother looking around for a quick fix. Like, very, very few people realize that you just have to constantly work and assess and get feedback on the ways that you aren't perfect and just embrace the joy of getting slightly better each day over time and letting the compounding work its magic and accept the fact that you're never actually going to be perfect anyway. And so there is my final addition to you, which is to just take some personal responsibility for yourself and every positive and negative attribute and event in your life and focus on growing yourself instead of finding ways to blame your problems on other people or other things. Now, hopefully you've learned a thing or two about why there's lots of terrible bad advice out there and what are some core principles of good advice and things you should be looking for. So if you thought it was worth listening to, please do message that friend who you think would love it, because that would mean the world to me. And if you're feeling super, super kind, you might want to channel some of the first rule about acting with kindness and leave a positive review on Apple or Spotify or YouTube for me that will help the podcast. And as they say, kindness accrues and starting small. And it's not about like some giant big thing. It's about the little things that you can do every day. So if you could make my day, that would be wonderful. And if you're interested, yes, I do feel awful asking for these things, but you don't get if you don't ask. So I'm trying anyway. And on the subject of asking, if you have any questions for the show, please email me at growthmindsetpodcast@gmail.com or get in touch through the website or in the comment sections. I do read all the comments after all. And finally, remember that life is very short and to be enjoyed. So don't put off enjoyment until you've achieved some future goals, because that isn't actually a strategy for having fun. That is a strategy for just being stressed for your whole life. So don't do it. Be kind to yourself, and whilst you're at it, be kind to someone else too.